right, here we go. A couple more shows as we take you from NHL free agency into your summer months. It's Nick Kiprios in for Justin Bourne. He's lovely. He's talented. Put your hands together for the lovely Gord Stellick.
Being a ski racer coming down, holy mackerel, I was caught. Anyway, looking forward to it. Kipper, always great to catch up with you and Sammy, and a whole lot to digest after a whole lot to digest yesterday.
Like I said, we'll give Justin Bourne a day off today. We still have Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next hour. Live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Always watchable on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Okay, Gord, yesterday over $1 billion spent on free agency and none for us.
Well, by the way, really good job doing the ins and outs and everything.
That's not really, Gord.
No, that's not easy. That's not easy. Not a lot of, you know, like Frank Gifford did it. Not a lot of that. They can do what we're doing as the analysts. Yeah. So you've done a good job. Evidently, you're not getting any more money for it because you're complaining on July 2nd. Yeah. No, we'll find out later. No money for us. So, no money for us.
Kipper, it didn't start great. You know, if you had to go back and listen to our first week of shows, that'd be a special kind of torture.
But today wasn't great.
Yeah, it was great. You nailed it.
Gord's so nice.
No, but Gord's right.
And
you
love him.
You are really good at it.
No, stop it.
No, seriously, Kipper, really nice. I'm going to drop it. No, the ins and outs, people go like, just the stuff, because I did it as well. Just, it looks easy, but actually I found it the most difficult thing about just, because it's always on your mind. That's all I'm saying. When you're sitting here, you can just go blah, 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 blah. And I love it.
So you know what the real secret is? I don't care.
Well, that's
the secret.
Yeah.
Is I could totally screw it up, and I'm so far beyond worrying about embarrassing myself or someone coming in, walking in the door and saying, okay, that's enough, you're out. I'm evolving.
So, you know when the Fan started as Canada's first all-sports station, you were winning a Stanley Cup in New York.
'93.
Yeah, I think you were in grade two or something like that.
JK. I was 6 years old.
Yeah. Sammy was sperm back then.
So the guy, I've been on a bit, and I was making the transition like you were. And I remember, I mean, Don Cherry was huge. Huge, right? Huge personality. And he said, Gordy, my boy, you're doing great. You're doing great. Don't you ever get smooth like those other guys. And I thought, like, only he could give a backhanded, genuine compliment like that. Like, don't you ever get smooth. So true to my word, 10 decades later, I never got real smooth.
That's hilarious. I love that.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And you've been true to your word. I don't think of you as smooth.
Well, because they're not. And also, I was with Dan Shulman, and you're trying
now
to.
That's oh my!
I know. And then so all of a sudden, I found he would talk, and then I go, well, Nick, you know, and I go, well, no, just be yourself. Just be yourself. So
well, we're glad you are yourself on our show for the next hour, and you know, no guests, just us.
Lots of talk.
Looking back, 24 hours or prior, your thoughts on what stood out. Biggest story I would start with you was what?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, lots of trades, lots of stuff. So that was great. When Stanley Cup was hoisted, Steven Stamkos is the bigger story. I mean, that's just the biggest story because you don't see that happening. It's like Sidney Crosby leaving Pittsburgh or something. Like, you know, years ago when people in Toronto thought he was going to come here. So it's a great story on many levels, Kipper. And, you know, part of it as well, it's a great story about Julian Brisbois. Whether he's right or wrong, business is business, and there was a number he wasn't willing to meet and decided there was a parting of the ways, and he decided the guy hoisted the Stanley Cup twice, but I got to get down to business and what's best for my team in 2024, which people didn't expect was going to happen.
I'm going to take you back to your general managing days, either with the Leafs or, you know, the sample size that you had with the Rangers.
Right.
And business was business back then, too. But we did see on occasion for certain players between management and who's on the ice that there would have been some soft spots where you would have said, you know, give him the extra this or give him the signing bonus or give, you know, whatever. But was yesterday a line in the sand that was a huge wake-up call that the loyalty days or owing anybody for anything is over?
Loyalty, you bank a lot on it. It's promised a lot. How does Mikhail Sergachev feel? He's in the second year of an eight-year contract, and they sell Tampa Bay no-tax state. I have no idea what the taxes are in Utah. I don't think it's a no-tax state. He didn't think he was going to be in Utah, right, when he signed that deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I think, Kippy, you're 100% right. The New York Rangers, you saw a little bit of it with Barkley Goodrow and some others, and maybe look at the carnage of head coaches. Look at the carnage of head coaches. Look at the demands and the pressure to win, okay, out there. I think it's been unparalleled compared to other years and all that. I'm just thinking that's something.
There is a tax
factoring in.
It's under 5, I think, in Utah.
Okay, whatever. But, yeah. I mean, he wasn't expecting to go to Utah when he signed the eight-year deal. Okay, so I to be honest with you, I don't know about you, Sammy, as well, but Kippy, I thought Steven Stamkos, Point, Kucherov, Sergachev, Hedman, and Vasilevsky, those six will be there forever. The other guys will go in and out. But he flat out said, we're a better team with Jake Guentzel than we are with Steven Stamkos. And, you know, I'm one of those that got caught by surprise. The guy had 40 goals last year. He's only 34 years old. Stamkos, I think it's a great, great win for Nashville, what happened yesterday.
Do you want Julian Brisebois' clip on Stamkos first, or you want Stamkos?
Well, whatever we could probably go with Brisebois first, and then we can go to Stamkos.
All right, here we go. General Manager of Tampa Bay on Steven Stamkos.
I'd like to start off by stating the obvious. I know that it is disappointing that I was not able to come to terms with Steven Stamkos on a contract to keep him within the organization. I know the fans are disappointed. I know Steven's disappointed, and I'm disappointed. Like everyone, I wanted Stammer to stay in Tampa and finish his career with the Lightning. But like for every player, there were also limits. I felt like we had limits that I felt like were the limits that we could allocate in terms of cap space to him. And Stammer is sincere in all of his statements saying that he wanted to stay in Tampa. That shouldn't be questioned. He definitely wanted to stay in Tampa. But at the same time, it was clear throughout our process that he also had financial expectations that he expected us to meet. And ultimately, I felt and made the decision that if I agreed to the terms that he wanted in order to get a deal done, I would not be putting ourselves in the best position to chase championships going forward. And ultimately, we need to make decisions that are in the best interest of the team's success.
Okay, regardless if we think it's right or wrong, I do respect Julian for making a tough 100%. Decision. That in itself, some general managers can't, and they just kind of sit on a fence or they just wait for an answer to come to them instead of them taking charge and being the guy that has the answer. So I'll give him respect on that. Where he kind of falls off on me is the fact that, you know, even in that clip, there's a sense that I'm disappointed. Okay, and I wanted to try to make it work feel. And it's like, no, this was written on the wall. You were driving, you knew a long time ago that you didn't want him back. And to me, that $3 million on an AAV over eight was just insulting. Well, like, to me, if you really wanted to try to find a solution, don't you have two or three different offers? Isn't there different ways to skin a cat here?
Well, it sounded like it went off the rails from the start. And it sounded like it got personal, which it should never get personal. I mean, he controlled it. So when he says, I'm disappointed, well, you know, you could have controlled it. Like what you wanted, you valued Ryan McDonagh, and maybe you look at it, okay, we needed a stud D. That's more important than Steven Stamkos. He also got Connor Geeky, 11th overall pick of Arizona a couple of years ago. So he's saying, you know what? That's my next guy to fill the void there. But you're the ex-player. So what are the Tampa Bay Lightning? You won a Stanley Cup. So the players in Tampa Bay, are they saying, I can't believe this? This is brutal. Or are they saying, you know what? I'm sad about it, but I respect the business side. He's trying to do what's best for the team. And on the other side, whether he's saying it, does Julian Brisebois kind of saying, guys, I really don't care what you think. Okay, I'm in charge. Never mind the Stanley Cup rings and that. Business. I'm in charge of business in 2024, and I'm going to do it my way. What are they saying?
Would you like to hear what Hedman had to say about it today after he announced his contract?
Let's go there first.
I'm just going to read it. I don't have the clip, but I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
It's losing a guy that has been my best friend for the past 15 years. Seeing Stammer go was not something anyone expected. Same goes for me. It's a sad day. Sad day not just for me, but for the fans, the organization, and the city of Tampa for what he has done. It'll be hard to imagine going into our locker room and going into Amalie Arena and not seeing him on the ice.
Yeah, yeah. And to answer your question, Gord, listen, ultimately, I'm not playing in the NHL to earn best friends. I'm here to maximize my potential and win as many championships as I can.
So you're talking as a player.
As a player.
Okay.
Okay. So friendships are great.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if I think I can win or even advance my career with or without you, I'll choose without you if I think it's best for me and winning. But you don't necessarily know that. So your first thought is like we're losing a guy that we really like, that we've won before. So there's a little bit of a void that Guentzel cannot fill until he starts proving that he's as good as Stamkos or can do the things that Stamkos did, and we are still on our way to thinking that we can win championships. So that will come much later. The only example I can have when I look back, and I wasn't there when Mark Messier left the Rangers.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
But that was a void that the Rangers never filled. And Brian Leetch was never the same without him. And you know, we know that Victor Hedman just signed an extension, 4 years, $8 million. But I don't know exactly how it's going to affect him physically, emotionally, whatever.
And
you just have to wait and see.
Well, that was a nice PR statement he's reading, but he's also saying that while he goes, can I just sign here? Where's the new contract?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if it was something about I'm not clear if I'm going to sign here now and that, because at the end, you know what it's like. Quite often, a lot of the partners, the wives and spouses, they only watch when their husband's playing. You know, I mean, they really focus when he's on the ice and that. I'm not saying all the way, but it's a team business, but it's a selfish world. And, right, Kipper? It's a total me world when it gets down to the nitty gritty.
I often tell people that I am so happy that I lived in a non-salary cap era. So when a guy like Luke Robitaille comes into our dressing room with the New York Rangers and tells us that, you know, he just signed for $20 million and we are just happier than hell for him. Okay. Now, when someone says that in the room, it's like your first thought isn't, I'm happy for you. It's, what's that mean to me? How much is it left for me?
So, who's getting cut here?
So here Hedman is best friends with Stamkos. And essentially, the reason why they got rid of you is so I could get the 8x4. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, if he was asking for 4 years initially, Stamkos, would they have acquiesced and figured something out? Obviously, he was asking for more. But you're right. Right now, it's kind of, geez, I'm really happy about your contract, Nick. Let me get a pen out. How much is left in the cap? Because they're going to tell it. They're going to say, Gord, you know where we're at the cap. Look at the figure there. And that's all we have. Well, you shouldn't have given Nick so much. Well, you already done it. So you're right before. It was used as leverage. You used it as a comparable in arbitration. There was no cap. Teams like the Rangers and Detroit, bring it in. The more the merrier, the better the signings. And it's a different world.
And players have never been more jealous of each other than this era, with the cap era. And it's something we knew and we talked about in the 90s was that this is what salary caps do. That's what they do. They make you fight over money. They'll make you fight each other for it. And unfortunately, that's what's happened here. And the fans lose too because they lost their legacy player in Tampa Bay.
Well, they do, but also it does come back to management. Like Mark Messier left on his own volition because Neil Smith and the Rangers were a dollar shy and a day late, okay, as they say, right?
As Carolina was with Guentzel. Guentzel wanted to stay.
Yep.
If they would have offered him early, 8x8.
He's there.
They would have had him. You know what they do? They tell him no. They tell him why no. They piss him off. And then they come back to the draft and they offer it to him. And it's like, you dummies.
Yeah, it gets personal.
Yeah,
I guess.
You tell the guy you're not worth something and he's probably going to forget about wanting to go there. And then you get that contract offer and you don't want to keep it. So,
But how about Barry Trotz? He's basically saying, I don't want the team David Poile gave me when I had a coach all the time.
Can you believe they worked together for so long?
I know.
And yesterday he was so un-David Poile.
Well, totally. Like, I mean, they had David Legwand forever. That was their only forward. They had great goaltenders, great defense, no forwards. And it started last year when they were sellers at the trade deadline, and they got better. They got, not, you know, then they went and got Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly and these kind of lesser-known free agents last year. And then, boy, oh, boy, to have Stamkos land in your lap and then the other two. Although, you know, the Brady Shea contract's interesting money-wise, but generally to get a UFA, you spend a little bit more. And defensemen seem to be a little bit more of a premium. But they got a real, real trifecta. Too often we say teams, you know, people get excited about the emotion of July 1st and they overrate how much the team has improved. But in the Nashville's case, boy, they certainly stole the show.
Yeah, it's another guy that went and signed there that not on the same level as Stamkos, Gordo, but the Marchessault thing where he wins their first cup in franchise history. He's the Conn Smythe winner, and he says that they never really even wanted to sign him. Like, it's another, you know, Kelly McCrimmon has made a lot of cutthroat decisions there, and it's another one that he made on free agency day. And, you know, two guys that got slighted by their organizations end up in Nashville, so... Like, they're a lot better, Nashville. Like, that's, you know, they were plucky enough last year, and you had those two guys. It'd be really fun to watch them play this year.
Nick Kiprios, Sammy McKee, and the very smooth Gord Stellick in studio today. You know, Gord, the Leafs got knocked out, of course, as we know, in the first round, and it took everything for Sammy to not talk Leafs all the time.
I know they got knocked out.
Yesterday we weren't on nationally. We spread our wings. It was an hour and a half of Leafs.
What was the Jack Campbell offer you had a couple years ago? Jack Campbell had a big game, and Sammy was going to give him like Ovechkin money or something like that.
I called him Cujo multiple times. I said you can't let him walk out the door multiple times. Yeah, I said a lot of dumb things about Campbell.
Oh, so we're going to give Sammy his fill here, and let's talk Leafs. They made, I guess, the blue line, the priority with Tanev and Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Yanni Kak.
Hakanpää.
Yes.
That's a big thing nowadays about the Hakanpää. That seems to be a big social media thing.
You can become a star with
I don't think it's about the player. Brad Treliving, one thing he did in Calgary, two things he's done here, I think. Calgary, he focused on defense. A lot of trades, you know, Dougie Hamilton, whatever it may be, like a lot of bringing guys in, signing free agents. So he's looked at that a little bit more. He also hasn't given up draft picks the same way Kyle Dubas did, which I'm glad, because the Leafs, Nashville, they got like multiple draft picks still because they were sellers and they've accumulated all these. And Toronto has draft picks that befits a Stanley Cup champion, which they're not. So I thought he did a decent job, okay? He's stuck because they don't have a lot of money. So if they wanted, you know, say Pesci, for example, or they wanted Brady Shea, whatever, the bigger name defenseman, they weren't going to get him. I think Tanev is the right kind. I mean, if they play like they're supposed to. So if he is the great partner for Morgan Rielly, okay, we know he's a solid shot blocker, physical defenseman. We know the style he is. And if Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a better power play point guy than Morgan Rielly, you know, if they have the right kind of niches, if they scouted them appropriately, then I like those particular moves. But there's no question, I wasn't expecting wow. You didn't get wow. You need the Bobby McMahons of the world to improve. You need the Matthew Nyes of the world to improve. You need Timothy Liljegren to really improve, you know, some of those guys from within to get there. They're not as good a team as they were 2-3 years ago. 2-3 years ago, I had them as a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. They still could win the Stanley Cup. They could do it like Washington did when your best days are behind you, but you get hot in a playoff. But that's what's disappointing. When Florida hoisted the Stanley Cup 5 years ago, I certainly Sammy and many of us thought that'll be the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah.
If there's a team from the Atlantic Division, that should be the Toronto Maple Leafs. And here we are 5 years later. It's not. It's the Florida Panthers. And you can't cry over spilt milk and you can't fix it all in one day.
For a team that struggled to score goals or get a power play goal here, they lost Bertuzzi, and Bertuzzi didn't have a great year, but there was a presence that he brought every night. At least the opposition would look at a guy like Bertuzzi and say, hey, I don't know, might be a tough night against him, but they've lost that presence here. So where are you up front for them? And the distraction of Mitch Marner.
Well, I mean, Leon Draisaitl just as a distraction, too. I think in both cases, Edmonton and Toronto, you just got to go in that. If you're talking about winning the Stanley Cup, which both teams are, your best chance is 100 million miles more with Mitch Marner in your lineup. Whatever. I mean, whatever you get for Mitch Marner in a trade isn't going to come close. So I think Calgary, I think Brad Treliving in Calgary would rethink Matthew Tkachuk. Well, just stay, see where we go. They had a really good team that year, you know, and you made the preemptive trade. And, hey, what the hell? You know, take a chance. Go for it. Like Kawhi Leonard with the Toronto Raptors. One and done, but it's a championship.
But you still ended up with Weegar, who's a
solid
defenseman.
That part was okay, but Huberto, that contract's a killer. That contract's a killer. So anyway, the Mitch Marner distraction, I don't understand the whole distraction element, how it got to that point, but that's a story for another day. Up front, yeah, Bertuzzi really found his way the last half of the season, a role. That's a loss. Max Domi really did. What about in the playoffs, showing his versatility and filling in? Really did. So the point is, I don't know if some of the young kids are maybe available to start coming, but there's no question. You're not getting a wow factor guy back, and those days are over, you know? So last year against the Boston Bruins, because right now we got the enormity of all these years with no playoff success. But last year, you break it down. They competed hard. They went to Game 7 in overtime. They didn't have Matthews for a chunk. They didn't have Nylander for a chunk. And, well, things like the power play not going, they ran into an excellent goaltender. So I'm still bullish about this particular team and the way it is evolving. But it just doesn't have it had more of a wow factor a couple of years ago, but they lost in the playoffs with more of a wow factor. Maybe they can go further with less of a wow factor.
I think I really like how much better the decor looks. I think if you look at it right now, with adding Tanev, adding Oliver Ekman-Larsson, adding Hakanpaa into the mix here, I think it looks better. But, you know, you think about that series against the Bruins last year. I mean, what were the scores in every game? 2-1 or 3-1 or 3-2. Like, there was no high-scoring games. The defense wasn't an issue. And when it comes down to it, every single one of these playoff failures that we always talk about, boys, it's always the lack of scoring. And I understand him addressing the defense and getting better guys in here. I totally get that. But when you look at that forward core right now, it's just going to come down to the same thing as it always has, where you need the guys that have underperformed. And I'm not just saying Mitch, I'm saying Austin, I'm saying Willie at times, Tavares, you need them to perform. And I don't have the faith that it's going to break through one of these years.
How many games, consecutive games, was it? They'd scored two or fewer goals in the playoff. Like, it was seven heading into this anyway, whatever it may be, but you're right. I mean, and those are the guys. They've re-upped Nylander, they've re-upped Matthews. I mean, Tavares, that'll give some cap space. But, I mean, those big four have never been the big four in the playoffs.
And there's going to be a big ask on top of that on McMahon and Matthew Nyes.
Yeah.
They've got to carry a lot of freight on that left side.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, totally. I mean, again, we're jumping. You know, and also, we're making the assumption they make the playoffs because we're already jumping to game number 83, which every year we jump to game number 83 again because, by and large, those other 82 games have been, relatively speaking, exceptional or satisfying, at least. But I still think they're an easy playoff team. But you wonder about, you know, Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo. I'm not saying they're ready yet, but they've been on the outside looking in for a while. I don't know if it's time that one team in the Atlantic gets disappointed or not. I don't think it is, and I certainly don't believe it'll be the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, God, heaven forbid you get down to that next level like New Jersey and Seattle did last year, playoff success, and then out of the playoffs. And we're just making this assumption they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Atlantic's extremely competitive. There are a lot of good teams in the East. Yeah. A lot of teams got a lot better, too. So, Kipper, on Hakanpaa, you see that, what Simmons wrote yesterday.
Wrote that there's a serious situation on his knee.
Yeah. Have you heard anything on that?
The only thing I would tell you is that you got to really believe that the Leafs knew about it and checked it out and had their doctors look into it. Either maybe he had their own physical on him or they just took a report off of it. But I got to think that they checked it through and through and were comfortable enough, not just to give him a 1-year deal, but give him a 2-year deal. Yeah. Like that to me is the second year is significant for them. But he also played his last game middle of March and never returned.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that kind of concerns me from just looking from afar is that they let this guy go who's 6'7".
230.
31 or 32 years old, so not old by any stretch. They let him go and they replaced him with a guy that they paid twice as much for. I don't care if it's the Bushkin or not. They were willing to pay another guy $3.5 million over a guy that they could have had for $1.5 million or $2 million.
Now, Did John Klingberg have injury worries heading into this season? Did he arrive as damaged goods?
He always had hip issues. Yeah. He had multiple hip surgeries.
Mm-hmm. But Brad wanted to make it very clear that they didn't get damaged goods.
Yeah.
But it was a $4.5 million contract that he signed for 1 year, right?
Yeah, so like, I don't know. Like, I mean, you hope this isn't the case. And Kipper, you know it nowadays. I mean, they really do check these things out.
They do, but Dallas was not comfortable with his knee.
Yeah.
That I know for a fact, that they thought that it wasn't just a doctor going in there and cleaning it up, that there was some issues that that left him questionable. Like, you know, if you're dealing with anything that's bone on bone, which I think Steve Simmons described in his report, you can go through stretches where you're fine, but then if you disappear for two or three games, it's because something's flared up.
Well, but that's why it's $1.5 million. That's why they couldn't keep Ilya Lyubushkin, who we talked about, or Joel Edmondson, right? I mean, they preferably, because, you know, just like Luke Shen last year, he played so well that he got kind of money that was no longer a six commensurate with a sixth or seventh D. So I would have to think that's, because to your point, Klingberg more was expected. That was a bigger ticket. If the player's hurt, of course, you can, then the cap isn't a problem. So obviously they were looking at, they needed to get us, to me, a seventh D. He's got a whole lot of size. And they're taking the optimistic point about a guy that's got question marks, like a lot of players do who've had some health issues. You know, Joe Wall, their number one goaltender. You know, and I love Joe Wall. I'm really big on Joe Wall, but you have to be worried about injuries, because if there's been a history of it, it's sometimes you look back and you never look back, and other times it never goes away.
That, I mean, you mentioned the playoff thing, Gordo, and I do think that they have enough talent where if Joe Wall gives them league average or above goaltending, that they're going to make the playoffs. But where it goes a little sour for me is his inconsistency staying healthy. And if he's away, and then Stolarz, maybe it's his first time being a starting goalie in Toronto, Matt Murray backup, you get below average goaltending. That for me is where like the real concern is the goaltending. Like I don't necessarily trust Joe Wall to be super healthy the entire year. That's concerning.
Well, Stolarz, all these Florida Panther players celebrated, the ones they didn't re-up, and got big contracts. You know, Lomberg getting $2 million in Calgary, Montour big money in Seattle. Stolarz 2.5, like that's not backup goaltender money. That's 1B.
Yeah,
and he really did a solid job. His stats are great last year in Florida. So you're hoping that they have a tandem here. That's the hope.
A Boston, Allmark,
exactly.
Swayman.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Usually doesn't end up working.
And then like you saw in Boston, eventually one goes, but for a year anyway, you know, get some depth there. So again, it buys
Wall time though.
Yeah. Yeah. And also if they can split the games more, exactly. Buys Wall time. But you know, you're the one guy, and it goes back that nothing, it was off the charts when John Tavares was signed on that day, July 1st, like off the charts. Happy days are here again. All those. And Kyle Dubas made a remark back then that he believed everybody else was, he had an understanding about every other Nylander, Matthews, Marner, which very quickly, and started with Nylander, that he didn't. He didn't have any idea what kind of money would they take a hometown haircut or whatever? Didn't. And it started those problems. And you were the one guy that mentioned it last night. That night, it's great to have Tavares, but that $11 million on top of everything else is going to handcuff you. It's going to handcuff you. And here we are 6 years later, and the handcuffs get tighter.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, before we go to break, we had a conversation. You brought up John Tavares. I mentioned the Leafs may be having conversations on when to go to Austin Matthews for captaincy.
Can anyone talk about that?
Yeah, I kind of had a life of its own. Listen, that conversation is inevitable. So would you deal with it sooner, or would you just let him ride it out, keep the captaincy, and then make Austin a captain next year?
My gut feeling would be the latter. And I also look at, you know, John Tavares came here and incurred the wrath of Islander fans, which he's continued to incur the wrath to come home. Kipper, I always talk about it. The dressing room is real. Nobody else outside of the dressing room is as plugged in about is he the de facto leader, got to be the leader, you know, and they'll be pissed off if he gets the C taken from him. Or, you know what, when you shake things up, and hey, they did it in San Jose. They've done it other places. They've changed the sea. That if somebody else truly, just a leadership group is one thing, but is truly the person, then he should be wearing the C. Is it super important? He wears the C. I don't know. Again, like I'd like to get a read there. John Tavares is such a professional. He's such a great pro. He does all the little things we don't see well. He's not a dynamic personality. And I'm not saying that's what you should have, but I kind of look at that in a captain a little bit more fiery or what have you. So, and in Toronto, it just adds more layers about being wearing a C in a Canadian city or an original six team. So to answer your question, I don't like letting it ride. I don't think that's the right term because I think he's a quality captain and leader. So I would leave it for another year because obviously that's a big year with his contract being up, thinking of things, you know. It's not something that's going to keep Austin Matthews here or not because he signed for a few years. Like, what do you think?
I would give it to Austin because I want more ownership on Austin. For me, it's not about what it takes away from Tavares.
It's challenging
it's
Austin.
What it gives Austin okay. Now.
Do you think Tavares would buy, like, not that it matters. How do you think he would feel?
Listen, I would hope he'd say, I had it for 6 years. I see the writing on the wall. I would be happy to pass that torch on.
So, yeah, well, and you know what?
Instead of playing the I'm insulted card.
And we want someone to be, again, to go back to your 94 team, be that Mark Messier in the playoffs. Any of them, okay? Any of them. Be one of those personalities that we say at the end of the playoff that, yeah. Oh, my God, like, you know, Austin or Mitch or Willie or Tavares or Morgan Riley, like they did what Gary Roberts did, you know, or they did what Darcy Tucker did. They did... what Matts did, you know what I mean? Like, you know, even though Matts doesn't get enough credit for it.
You're all in on Austin. You've made him the highest paid guy a couple of times here. He's your face. You've built the whole thing around him. Just now make it abundantly clear, bud. This is, now it's your team. This is your room. This is your players. You know, I kind of prefer you not disappearing to Arizona for 2 months of the summer and hanging around here more. Maybe it puts more of that feel to him that this is your town, this is your team, this is your room. Keep the guys together. That's where I would go with it.
And you know what I like about it, Kippy, thinking it through, is, you know, little things can be weird, okay, and can be a precursor of things to come. There was that strange game that didn't matter between Tampa Bay and Toronto, and all you watched is if Kucherov can get more points and can Austin Matthews get 70.
Ugh.
And it was, and you know what? And that almost was a bleep up heading in the playoffs that said, okay, that's where we were all wrong. Like, I was caught up at about, like, because he got on that tear at the end. And then you go, we're always, and I mean, we as fans, we're kind of over-focusing on the wrong things. You know, it still would have been neat. But you know what? Now, okay, now the hell with it. Let's have Austin and everybody ready. And I'm not saying they don't try to be ready for game number one or whatever, but whatever that next level is for a playoff game and all the individual stats, you know, and I do believe them all when they want to buy in the team concept about team stats. But it is funny that we were getting set for the playoffs with this ridiculous regular season game that it was just feeding Austin and feeding Kucherov. And it was like we were watching, I don't know, kids play or something like that, yeah, with one elite player on each team being fed the puck by everybody else.
Okay, we're going to go to break. My producer...
very smooth.
Put a
very
mandate
smooth
on it.
Oh, did he? Okay.
But when we return, plenty of talk about Montreal Canadiens re-signing their young stud. A great signing, I think, in Vancouver. They didn't get Gensel, but they got a guy that's pretty familiar with at least his last name around Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Adam Henrique also re-signing in Edmonton. Plenty more still to come on Real Kipper and Bourne and Gord Stellick.
Unrivaled insight, analysis, and opinions on all things Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Sammy McKee, Gord Stellick. And now, Sammy, a little game time.
Yeah, it's July 2nd and I still need to read it.
But only a done little this. More oomph I've with only July 2nd, please.
Yeah, no.
You only, didn't even try.
I've only done this 150 times this year, and I still have to read it. So it's game
it's
time.
Game time.
Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Is 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, since there's no hockey, and I gave out a horrible Blue Jays pick yesterday because Blue Jays suck, thought I would look at the regular season futures for next year for the awards. Michkov is the favorite for the Calder Memorial Trophy, tied with Macklin Celebrini at 4-1, and Logan Stankova next at plus 450. Cutter Gauthier, plus 500, and Will Smith, plus 500 as well. So, interesting there. Interesting to see what they get at Michkov. I'll give you guys one guess who the favorite for the Hart Trophy is.
McDavid.
Yeah, it's McDavid.
Do they do second and third?
Yep.
Okay, so would McKinnon be right there again?
He's second. So the McDavid is a plus 175 favorite, so barely anything. Yeah. McKinnon's plus 700.
They would throw Austin third.
Yeah, plus 850.
Gensel?
Gensel, no. He's down the list here.
All I know is, you know which rookie is going to get booed the loudest in an opposing arena?
Oh, my God.
Cutter Gauthier in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. Jake Gensel is 200-1, Gordo, so you can make some good money on that one. The favorite for the Norris? For next year?
The favorite for the Norris next year is Kale McCarr.
Okay.
The next closest is Adam Fox and Quinn Hughes. And the last one I'll bring up here is the Rocket Richard favorite. I think you probably know who it is.
Auston Matthews.
Yep. And he is a minus 110
favorite. And where would Hyman or Reinhart be? Because they may have well had career years and never get close to that again.
Reinhart is 100-1. So they're feeling the same thing as you. Zach Hyman is 22-1. So they think, playing on a line with McDavid, that he's got a chance to repeat.
So give me second and third on that, out of curiosity.
Pastrnak is plus 550, and Leon Draisaitl is plus 850.
Right.
Kaprizov, is plus 800. So there you go.
All right.
And, I guess we should do the Vezina while we're at it. Igor Shesterkin's the favorite. Jeremy Swayman is the second favorite at plus 600. So some interesting numbers there.
He is good.
Yeah.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, speaking of young studs, Gord, and I'm not going back to your high school days.
George Vanya, yeah. You were there too. Yes. Yeah.
Slavkovsky.
Yeah.
Went from a guy that I thought maybe could use some time in the American Hockey League to $60 million on an 8-year deal. He showed tremendous strides, but I cannot believe in such a short period of time that he went from a guy struggling to now $60 million. How surprised were you to see that extension?
I don't think surprised at all because, you know, number one overall pick, and, you know, you made him number one overall pick. He really grew by leaps and bounds this year.
I know.
Leaps and bounds.
You're 100% right.
And after this year, they probably offer the same. You know what I mean? I don't think it would be much different. So they're kind of saying, look, Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki are 7.75. They made him 7.6. You've got, I mean, think if the Leafs hypothetically had Matthews, Marner, and Nylander in under $8 million, you know, a few years ago. I mean,
so you're just hedging right now that this thing is going to be a bargain in 3 years.
Well, look what New Jersey did with Jack Hughes. I mean, Jack Hughes would love to not be making $8 million for the next 7 years. So, you know, the era of the bridge contract is gone. The idea, I think Gary Bettman thought when 2005, you'd get the entry level, it's fixed. You'd get unrestricted free agency after 7 years. So you'd hit a home run then, and the 4 years in between would be bridge deals. Well, that's not been the case. So you re-up in return, you get term on the backside. I always liked this guy's personality, big personality, really liked it, loved the way he loves the game. And I, you know, you got to believe in the guy. Like, he's improved, and you've made a commitment there. And if worse comes to worse, first of all, it could be a hell of a deal year 6, 7, 8. Or, like what happened with Oliver Ekman-Larsson and many others, what happened to him in Vancouver, you buy them out. It's not the end of the world. It's not what you prefer, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, there's a chance that you look at this in 3 years and he's Draisaitl, and you're like, wow, we got one of the, you know, a premier player in the league at 7.6 million or whatever, but the other side of it also exists too, but I don't know. That was just it was a sticker shock number for me seeing it.
So how about our buddy Jax in Edmonton? Jeff Jackson said he's not going to be a general manager in the big picture, so, and I believe that. Anyone who's a president, I asked Brendan Shanahan that question years ago when there was no GM before he hired Lou. And I just said, what about you? And he said, no. And I can see that now, why people like being president. But did you like what Edmonton did? I thought like whether, you know, Jeff Jackson, if it's a short time, not a long time, I think his body of work the last 72 hours was really solid.
Listen, he's managed to bring a lot of guys back. That was part of that.
His whole great third run, line.
Right. So that gives you at least another shot of keeping this energy in the room. I'm not sure what he's going to do with Evander Kane. Skinner is now there.
$3 million. Yep.
So there's a sense that maybe they're either trying to try to move him or they get a secondary situation where they can buy him out.
You like Arvidsson?
I like Arvidsson.
I do too. Like I just thought that was another
as a depth guy.
Yeah, I thought that was another solid pickup.
He's a fireball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think the one exception I kind of questioned a little bit of the draft was the sense that they had to give up a first rounder to move into 32nd to go get Sam O'Reilly from the London Knights. And this has nothing to do with me questioning Sam O'Reilly.
Right.
But for a team that it will be in a must-win mode next year, wouldn't you have liked to held on to that first rounder at the trade deadline?
Obviously. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Well, yes.
Instead of a guy that won't help you for a couple of years.
You have to look at both, though. And the thing is, being in the scouts meetings, and I miss being in the scouts meetings. I don't in many ways because they were long, okay? But I mean, I loved hearing everything about everything. And first of all, you only get one out of every 32 players that are discussed, right? But I like to hear, like, say, Nick Kyrgios and Sammy, their opinions on all the players, and then you store it. A guy named John Chapman was just a great scout. He coached out in Lethbridge, and then he scouted with the New York Rangers when I was there. You listen to his opinions about everybody, and you go, man, he really knew his stuff. You know, and so if you got a scout, and Jeff Jackson, very plugged in, having been in the player agent business, that for whatever reason, they have a feeling that this guy is a, whether you want to call him diamond in the rough, whatever it may be, then in the big picture, that's what you're looking at. Okay, we're going to give them a better pick next year than 32nd overall. We hope not, or 31st overall. We hope not, maybe. But yeah. So that's all I'm saying. That you, as a general manager, you got to play things, both things, you know, different ways. So you know, not having that first round pick, sure, is a trading chip you don't have. But you also have to look at the talent coming in from the bottom up as well.
And I guess if you want to look at it from that, that's a good point, Gordo. And if Sam O'Reilly's really good this year in London, and he's lighting it up a la Cowan did this year, where he was looked at as one of the prime prospects outside of the NHL, you could maybe use him as in a trade at the deadline next year instead of the first-round pick or something. So you could look at it from that perspective as well. But I was kind of surprised.
I love those kind of deals, though. You always want, like, Minnesota Wild moved up one pick, right?
Yeah.
You know, years ago, Ottawa moved up two picks to get Erik Karlsson. Like, I always wonder what's the dynamics, how that happens. And I'll tell you, Kipper, a general manager, you have a big staff, but you got one individual, maybe two, that have your ear, okay? And all of a sudden, like, it's like that old E.F. Hutton commercial when E.F. Hutton talks, everyone listens. If that person comes to you and you go, okay, you know, Kipper's at a different level, so we really got to get Sammy. He's big on Sammy in a way that he rarely is big on someone, and we got to figure out a way to make this work.
The Vancouver Canucks end up with Jake DeBrusk. I'm a huge Jake fan, especially, and Sammy's pointed this out, how much he's killed the Leafs in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. God, he's good riddance. If you're a Leaf fan,
there's some
riddance.
Guys that can rise to the occasion at a certain time of the year, and Jake's he's, that type boy. Of guy.
That's what the Leafs need in the playoffs. They need a Jake DeBrusk type performance. But you're right about that with Jake DeBrusk. And even if you didn't like him, I'd be afraid to tell Louis that you don't. So we always do, because he's one of the best guys going, but he was a physical force.
I thought maybe there might have been in Calgary a little bit more noise about Naz Kadri maybe thinking about moving on as well. It just seems that Calgary's in this rebuild mode.
Yeah.
Do you think he still has a future in Calgary?
So I wonder what teams look at the $7 million figure. I think that's a good number for Kadri. He certainly went there expecting to win. I know he's already won in Colorado, but when he went there, that was that team that, see, they had that one meteoric year, and Daryl Sutter was being viewed as kind of a brilliant Forrest Gump. And then a year later, he was out to pasture.
Well, they lost to the Oilers in the second round of the playoffs, right? Was that the Battle of Alberta when McDavid scored in overtime?
But also they, like, I mean, Mangiapane signed his contract that year, got a ton. Lindholm got 42 goals, which he never came close to. Like, all of these guys had marquee seasons, and they brought Kadri in.
Yeah.
And anyway, I would think it's not over. Just because July 1st doesn't mean things are over. And I would think that if you're looking, I mean, and Nazem Kadri, that's the kind of player the Leafs have needed in the playoffs. You know, he always went a little too far. I mean, the feistiness he had to, but they really, that's what they needed. That was the perfect kind of guy. I'm not saying he's going to come to Toronto or anything like that, but yeah. I got to think there'd be noise about Nazem Kadri, and I'd be on Craig Conroy.
I think it's going to come. It may not even come this year, but it will come. I look at the Calgary Flames right now, and I go, for Craig Conroy, this is all about getting to a new building.
Yeah.
Right? So
bridging the gap.
Bridge it. And then when we get into that new building and we start jacking the prices up, you need a good team
mm-hmm.
to justify $30 beers.
Yeah. Well,
40.
Well, the Raptors, Raptors didn't need that this year.
It's comparable to Jays about, you know, yeah. that's why the extra disappointment when you've done what you've done to Rogers Center.
Yeah.
And, you got to have a playoff team. You know, that kind of thing. Maybe they still will. I'm not going to talk baseball, but.
Blues busy this afternoon.
Big signing.
Yeah. They acquired Matthew Joseph, Radek Faxa from Ottawa and then from Dallas, and a third round pick with Matthew Joseph. For future considerations. And then they signed Pavel Buchnevich to a 6-year contract with an AAV of $8 million.
That's a big ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Rangers let him go.
Yeah.
I really like him a lot. Every time I watch the Blues, he really pops for me, but I'm surprised at that number. It seems like a lot, does it not?
Again, you look at, and that is, like Kipper said, the problem. The number affixed to the cap world, first of all, whether there's jealousies internally because there's only so much of the pie to go around. So there's resentment in some cases. And the other one is just saying, hey, what do you think of Nick Kyrgios? Yeah, this is it. Yeah. Then at that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. You never used to say that.
No, you're right.
You never used to say that. Like, how's your D look? It's Nick, it's Sammy, it's whatever.
Yeah.
The salary didn't come up at all.
One more as we closely run out of time here. But this whole Jacob Trouba story with the Rangers, and I haven't really followed that closely, but there's a real sense that the Rangers want him out. And I don't mind him. I get sometimes he can make some aggressive moves out mm-hmm. there that he gets caught on. But there's still value for me as in what we still consider the best open ice hitter in the game.
Well, it's kind of funny. Chris Drury's gotten kind of snarky about a lot of things right now. And again, is he doing what Julian Brisbois did in Tampa Bay about just saying, hey, business is business. And then, you know, Sammy Trouba, something about his wife is going to medical school. So that's a complication to go somewhere
else.
It's
part of the story.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then, but I know I was actually talking to Brian Burke earlier about different things, and you're saying, isn't there, like, if Detroit wanted him, is it not their medical school in Michigan? Anyway, whatever. But how much should the team worry about that or not? You can say, well, that's not the team's problem. But, yeah.
And he does have no trade, no move protection, and I'm sure exactly when it drops to a certain amount of teams. But there is a sense that he's exercised it, and it's pissing somebody off.
So here's the headline from Larry Brooks' article in the New York Post. Wife's hospital residency among factors keeping Jacob Trouba with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you guys mentioned, there's other things other than him wanting to be, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they give him no trade clause.
Well, that's why he negotiated. That's right. That's why, you know.
It's with Marner right now. It's if he had a no-move clause, he probably would be moved.
This is from Pete Blackburn's Twitter account. The Trouba stuff over the past few days has been so uncomfortable in a lot of different directions. I get wanting to move on, but a no-move clause, no-trade clause doesn't just belong to a player. It belongs to a family, too. Doesn't matter who wants to exercise it, and we probably shouldn't know that stuff. I thought that was a good tweet.
I think that's totally bang on. Nailed it.
Totally.
Pete Blackburn's good follow.
Because now information you don't know about. It used to be the fact book, you know. Hey, Nick and his wife, Anne-Marie, and here's the name of their three kids, and they do whatever, and let's do a few, you know. Now, information's kept pretty tight in that regard, so.
You know, it's not a secret, Gord.
What's
how
that?
How smooth you are.
Yeah, we love you, Gordo. That's
we love you.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, shout out to Dale DeGray. Yeah, worst move I made. Oh. Took Brad Marsh in the waiver draft, then dropped Dale DeGray. They got claimed by LA. And that's why I'm broadcasting now, Dale. You're doing a great job.
Shout out to the attack, baby. Love it.
With the Owen Sound attack, for
thanks
sure.
Thanks for doing this today, Gordo.
Hey, that's Best Slice. Great job, Kipper and Sammy. I've enjoyed watching, listening all year.
One more show tomorrow. Join us on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.